Welcome to this service of the Word, a worship service of Calvary Lutheran Church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray.
Holy One, you give sight to the blind and life to those who trust in your Son. May the light of your Christ pierce through our blindness and open us to your way of life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our first lesson is from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 14 through 21. For a long time, I have kept silent. I have been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out. I gasp and pant. I will lay waste the mountains and the hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn rivers into islands and dry up the pools. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. But those who trust in idols, who say to images, "You are our gods," will be turned back in utter shame. Hear, you deaf. Look, you blind, and see. Who is blind but my servant, and deaf like the messenger I send? Who is blind like the one in covenant with me, blind like the servant of the Lord? You have seen many things, but you pay no attention. Your ears are open, but you do not listen. It pleased the Lord, for the sake of his righteousness, to make his law great and glorious. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray Psalm 142 responsively. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy.
I pour out before him my complaint. Before him I tell my trouble.
When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who watch over me. In the path where I walk, people have hidden a snare for me.
Look and see. There is no one at my right hand. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life.
I cry to you, Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living.
Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me.
Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name.
Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me.
Our second lesson is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated by it becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, you must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground and made some mud with the saliva and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he said, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, The man they call Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been born blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But the others asked, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. They still did not believe that he had been born blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son? They asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that he can now see? We know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, and who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, he is of age, ask him. The second time they summoned the man who had been born blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know, I was born blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I have already told you, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. And Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what are we blind to? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Sight is a precious thing, something most of us have grown accustomed to. But I want you to try to imagine the amazement of the young man in our story whose eyes see for the first time. For years, he'd heard the voice of a mother and father, but didn't know what they or any human looked like. He heard trees swaying in the breeze and smelled the aroma of a flower in bloom, but couldn't imagine the source. After meeting Jesus, he, in one sense, remains blind, for while he can suddenly see, he cannot identify what he sees. He has no language to describe what his eyes have filled his mind with. Since so much of sight involves memory, of depth perception, and of knowing how to put your own feet forward in walking down a hill or knowing your house from a maze of others, this man has a lot to learn. Jesus, the giver of his sight, performs a second miracle, often missed in this story. The first thing Jesus does after opening his eyes and after the man's ears were worked over in a blistering interrogation at the hands of the Pharisees is seek him out and teach him. Give language to his new sight, in his case, his faith. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he? Tell me, so I may believe in him. You have seen him. He is speaking to you. Yes, Lord, I believe. Today, as I speak to you, our much loved community, Calvary Church, is scattered. None of us want that to continue. The sight of one another on Saturday evenings and Sunday mornings is a wonderful thing. Over time, we've come to know one another as friends. We humor, embrace, listen, encourage, and pray for one another. Sight is a good thing, and I can't wait till our wait is past and we can be together. Yet even if confined to our homes and removed from each other, we are the church in worship, and we are always in the company of Christ. In Matthew 18:20, Jesus says, "For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them." In Matthew 28:20, he said, "Remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You may be alone right now listening to this message, but the person or persons you can't imagine a Saturday evening or Sunday morning without has or is listening to this podcast. And when they did, I am confident, they thought of you. Churches can be closed, but Christian fellowship cannot be broken. It exists unbroken among every person who has heard the voice of Christ, who see in him the face of a Savior. I invite you to close your eyes just for a moment and let your imaginations work. Picture your Sunday school room and your teacher and classmates, or your favorite picture on the wall in that room. Picture our church, the altar, the candles, the cross in the center of our worship space. That cross hangs there as a visible reminder of Jesus' presence with us each time we're in that worship space. It's there right now, silent, but real. Like the tomb our Lord was once laid in, Calvary is quiet today. Like the Lord, our church will be bursting with life again, soon. But for now, like we do between Good Friday and Easter, we must learn to wait. Life, as we have come to know it and enjoy it, is coming again. We must wait a little longer. I wonder to myself if our Lord said anything about this to the man who looked at him and believed in him. I wonder what that man might have thought if he'd looked at Jesus' face on the day he was crucified, or was invited to join the followers who saw their risen Lord in Jerusalem in the days following his resurrection. That was a face he'd never forget. Imagine the people you sit by, as though you see them now. Say a prayer for them, a prayer of thankfulness. Those faces are your congregation. You are the church, and Christ is watching over you. Till our eyes see what for a while only our mind's eye can conjure, please know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is still yours. Let them be your encouragement today, your guardian in the night, and your peace no matter what in this world threatens it, the peace that nothing can overcome. Until we see each other, God be with you. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us profess the faith of the Church, the faith in which we baptize.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, you are the one who grants sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. Grant that your people would see your will and follow your ways, and that we would hear your voice as we dwell in your holy word. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving God, just as the psalmist cried out for mercy in the face of his troubles, so we cry out to you in the face of ours. Grant your abiding mercy when we fall into despair. Give us hope for each new day, trusting that you are with us always. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All-seeing God, you already know about those who are heavily burdened with illness, pain, anxiety, loneliness, and grief. Grant your healing and give them your peace. Especially we pray for Father Patrick Malone, the family of Gerhard and Ursula Vanderer, and those we name before you now. Let them draw strength from your mighty power in their weakness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you sent your Son into the world to heal our hurts of body, mind, and soul. We pray you would bless all those who work toward that end, especially for pastors, medical professionals, hospital staff, first responders, government officials, and all those who work for the common good of us all. Give to all workers patience and skill to faithfully carry out their calling. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.